Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We have Karen back with us. She's with Ann at the ranch, and they're together there. And praise God. So we have Ann and Karen and Megan. So welcome, ladies.
Welcome, everyone.
Nice to be here.
Hello.
And tonight we're going to take a look at baptism. Baptism is an important thing for us to understand. Every one of us here have certainly had the baptism of blood, I believe, and we've had the baptism of water. Most, if not all, have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start out just looking at a few scriptures. And so, Karen, are you up to reading for us tonight?
Why, certainly.
Would you read Mark 15 through 18, please?
Okay. Can I use your Bible, Ann? Yes. I've got my chat up on my computer, so I don't have my Bible. 15 through 18?
Yes, please.
And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Okay, so what the topic of tonight's Bible study is the definition and hopefully clarity on what that baptism is. So, Karen, if you would then also turn to 1 John 5 and read verses 7 and 8.
Okay, getting there.
It disappeared out of my Bible. I don't know. She can't find it. It's gone.
It's close to the end.
Keep going. Okay. There it goes.
All right.
We found it.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one.
And right there is, he's speaking of the triune God, the Trinity of God. God is one, but that the witness of that on earth is the three baptisms, Spirit, water, and the blood. So we'll just take them in order. The baptism of blood. The baptism of blood is when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and God the Father then washes us with the blood of the Lamb, and we're cleansed from our sin. And that's not our physical bodies, but it is our soul that is washed in the baptism of blood. And that's what Jesus purchased on the cross. He was the sacrifice God made for our sin. And it is at the foot of the cross that we receive that sacrifice in our stead. And God the Father then washes us by that blood and cleanses us.
One note on the three and the order is this one has to come first. The other two, it doesn't matter which order they come in.
And that is borne out in
Acts.
Yeah.
Yes.
We saw that with Cornelius, the first Gentile, when Peter said, you know, because the Holy Spirit fell on them after they accepted Christ as their Savior. He had preached the gospel and they received it. And when the Holy Spirit fell on them, Peter says, can we deny them water, seeing that the Lord is given them the Holy Spirit, and they were then baptized in water. Then you have, normally the way we look at it is, after we've accepted Christ as our Savior and been washed in His blood, then we are baptized in water. Now, this is the baptism most churches see as the baptism of Mark 16. It's only one part of the baptism of Mark 16. And the water baptism, to me, is a very important one, and one that we need to understand, because it is in the water baptism that we reckon ourselves dead unto our flesh. And going under the water is the act that we do as a testimony of that. When we rise out of the water, we are then by the Holy Spirit and by faith in that operation of the Holy Spirit, translated, our soul is, into the body of Christ. So now we have a clean soul that is translated and now dwells in Christ's body by faith. And we still are living in this earthly body. And this earthly body, which we were attached to and still are and getting unattached to now, each of us, but were until that point of salvation and had no choice in that matter, because we were bound to sin. We were under the law. When we die, that the law no longer has any hold on us. And we die to our flesh, even though it's still here, and we wore the warfare to no longer serve it, but we reckon ourselves dead to it, and we remember that and continue to do so, and we now choose with our soul to be alive unto Christ, and that's where we learn to love God rather than ourselves. When we serve our flesh, we're loving ourselves. When we choose against our flesh and choose to walk in obedience to God, and in obedience to that which He has shown us, both in His Word, through discipleship, through fellowship, through the Bible studies we partake of and all, this is where we war the warfare to serve Jesus Christ. And that's what water baptism is. It's where we make a choice to be dead to ourselves, and then we actually believe God when He says that He translates us into the body of Christ. And yet, the way I look at it is, God cleanses our soul. We have this nice, clean soul now. And we need a new dwelling place for it, rather than the body of this death. And so, while we're here on this earth, we dwell by faith in His body until in heaven we receive a new body. That's what water baptism signifies. I let you guys...
Another thing with water baptism, too, is that it is an outward show of what we have done. We don't do a water baptism in secret. It is a testimony to those around us of our acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are joining Him.
Amen. Yeah. It reminds me of when Philip had been translated and went over to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got up into the chariot, and the eunuch was reading Isaiah, and he was reading about the Lord, and he didn't understand it. When Philip shared it with him, they then stopped the chariot, and he said, you know, the eunuch, he said, if you believe in Jesus, you can be baptized. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they got out, and he was baptized right there. The eunuch got back in and went on his way back to Ethiopia, and Philip was found in another place. But it is that outward, as you said, display of that inward choice.
Something else is hitting me too, that I've had people come to me and that maybe someone accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and then they died. They never had a chance to have a water baptism, and there are people who are just horrified that the person's going to go to hell because he didn't have a water baptism. But the Lord, He's grace, He has a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And someone who accepts Jesus, like on their deathbed, accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and there's a desire to do all that God wants them to do, the Lord honors that. They did not have an opportunity to be water baptized, but the Lord honors the fact that they wanted to.
Yeah.
And they will be saved.
Yeah. Amen. They believed unto salvation.
That's right. It hits me too. I remember in Vermont, you know, sometimes you couldn't get to water because it was frozen. And it's hard to baptize someone in frozen water.
Yeah.
So we have to wait for it to thaw. We have to wait for it to thaw. And but people who wanted to be baptized, even though the water was frozen, they took the first opportunity to be baptized, and God accepted that. And if something had happened to them before the water, before it thawed, they would have been saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, He is, the grace and mercy of the Lord is just, you can't even describe it. You can't, it's boundless. You can't describe it.
It is by it that we are saved. But,
amen.
Yes, Carter wrote in that the thief on the cross next to Jesus, who came to a saving knowledge of who Jesus was, obviously didn't get baptized. And actually, those who preceded Jesus, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of those people, they didn't have the water baptism we now have. And yet they were saved. But it is part of that which the Lord has His people do, and it's for a particular reason, and that's why we're going through it, because we need to understand what each of these are so that we can operate in that knowledge by faith. And the third one, of course, is the baptism in the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of power by which we can then walk and do even as Jesus did. And you know, that's one of the things that follows in this is simply that we now are the body of Christ on earth. Jesus isn't on the earth anymore in physical form. He was 2,000 years ago. He's not now. We're here in His stead and are to do even as He did. And He has equipped us to do this. Part of that equipping is baptism. The baptism of reconciliation of the blood, the baptism of being separated from this body of death, that we no longer have to serve sin but can serve Him, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that now gives us the power to do the works of God, which is a beautiful thing. And if we can know this, and Megan had put in the chat a couple of things on the Fisherman Ministry website. One is a teaching, Baptism 1, 2, or 3, which I hope you all will read and study. And the other is a Texas service where Davey speaks of baptism very clearly, that you can go back in and listen. It was the September 29th Texas service, but she put it in the chat too. But I know it's a short Bible study. I don't know if anybody has any questions. In the chat.
So if anybody listening, has it been clear what we were saying today to them? Do they understand what baptism is?
And while we're waiting for somebody to have a response, in the teaching Baptism 1, 2, and 3, you will see where Davy shows the children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, how there is a type and shadow there. One of the things in there is where Moses, the Lord told Moses to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they may serve me." Now, they could not serve him in Egypt, even as we could not serve the Lord while we were bound to this flesh. And, of course, Pharaoh didn't let him go, and they had the Passover, whereby the angel of death passed over every house, Jew or Egyptian alike, if they had the blood of the Passover lamb over its doorpost and lentils. And it wasn't on any merit upon any person in the house. It was solely on their obedience to the word of God to sacrifice that lamb, that spotless lamb, and to put the blood over the doorposts and lentils. And when the angel of death passed over, he passed over those houses with it. And then you have when they went through the Red Sea, where, of course, it was a miraculous crossing, but it was then that they were set free to serve God. And that is a type and shadow of water baptism, where we now get to make a choice whom we're going to serve. And it's important because we still have that choice of whom we're going to serve. He has done what was necessary to make it available for us to be able to choose him, but it remains our choice to do so. And it is where we war the good warfare to choose to love God rather than our what we know of as ourself, our flesh.
Robin?
And yes?
There is a question.
Oh, I apologize. Okay, Gail asked, is it the Gail one?
Yes.
Yeah. Gail asked, who baptizes us? Okay, the blood baptism is what God the Father does. He's the Savior, Jesus is the sacrifice, and he takes that blood of Jesus and he cleanses our hearts. He washes us by the blood of the Lamb. The baptism of water is the baptism of that the Holy Spirit performs, where he, when we reckon ourselves dead unto ourselves, he then translates us into the body of Christ. And the Spirit baptism is that which Jesus performs. Did that clarify it for everybody? And each one of these are necessary and important because it is by them that we can go forward in the grace of God, serving God, and, you know, being his body here on the earth, bringing him and his kingdom to bear.
But without the three baptisms, we cannot do the work that Jesus has called us to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so places that leave out, you know, they leave out the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they leave out really the baptism of water, and we believe the baptism of water is by immersion. We go all the way under the water and come out. It's not a sprinkling. It is a submersion. And without those three, we cannot even come anywhere near to walking as Jesus did and doing the work that he's called us to do.
Amen. You know, when it says, and these three agree in one, you kind of gave voice to what that means. It is the unity of those three that that gives us all that we need to go forward in Christ Jesus. And this is something we do by faith. In fact, there's a scripture, it's Colossians. Let me read it to you. Colossians 2:12. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And, I mean, that really says it all. We believe that what God said is true. Therefore, we can walk now in right standing with God, being able to serve him and to do his will. And so it's important to, I think it's important to know these things so that we can war good warfare by them. And it is in that place that there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That doesn't mean we don't find ourselves having walked after the flesh, but that's where we exercise our faith in the sufficiency of God's provision and the sufficiency of his blood.
And every day, let's face it, if we're honest with ourselves, every day we have to fight the flesh.
Amen. Absolutely.
And so it's a daily thing. It's not we do it once and that's it. We have to fight it every single day.
Amen.
And we, because of him, we have the ability to do that. And when we fall and follow the flesh, we can go to him and say, Lord, please forgive me. Help me start over again. And he lets us do that. And he forgives us. And he loves us through it all.
Casey put a question up. No, no. That's that enduring to the end. And you endure because you avail yourself of his forgiveness and of his grace. And all that, it is a walk of faith, not a walk of sight. So, yeah, several times a day, I would say it's an ongoing battle throughout the day. And, you know, Ann, you said it. We're sinners.
Amen to that.
We were sinners. Right. Amen. But we couldn't get the mute off.
Yeah. We're sinners. And we're saved by grace. But if we, as we learn to walk by faith, not by sight, as we learn to trust the Lord and choose to obey him, we grow in our strength and you know, in Ephesians it talks about the body being fitly joined together, growing into that the fullness of the stature of the body of Christ. And that's what we're warring to do, to become that body to the fullness of its stature. I think every one of us would confess we are not there. I know I'm not. And we're members one of another in this body. So we exhort one another unto love and good works in this. We need one another. This is not a singular thing. I mean, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is, but we minister to one another that we might believe the word of God and not believe our flesh, which is full of doubt and unbelief. And that's what we're warring to do. And part of that war is to know where we stand because of what he has done. And we got to keep coming back to that.
Did you answer Casey's question?
No. Casey wrote, so...
And Angie's.
Okay. I didn't see Angie's. Angie says, okay, Casey's first. So you are not in the body of Christ if you don't have all three baptisms right. I would say no, but you need all three baptisms.
Do you desire to have all three baptisms? Sometimes, when we're talking about the baptism of water, sometimes we're not in a position to have all three at one time, and most people don't get all three at one time. Do you desire to have all three?
Yeah. Because even the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. If you do not have an apostle present, you cannot, not that you cannot, because God is not bound by only that, as we know from Scripture, but there were time frames when you looked in Acts where, like I think there was a time when Peter and John heard that a people had accepted Christ, and they then went there and laid their hands on him, and they received the baptism. You know, the Lord, and like Anne said, if you desire it, a way will be made for all three, because it is all three that completes you in Christ. Angie's question.
Amen.
Go ahead. Anne?
I just said amen. Go ahead with Angie's question.
Is the baptism of blood also like putting on Jesus's cloak of righteousness? I'd say the answer to that one is yes.
Me too.
You know, where we recognize we have no righteousness, and Jesus having two cloaks, the righteousness of man that must be earned, which he earned. He took back the cloak that Adam lost in the garden. And so now when we come and accept him, he now clothes us in his righteousness, not Adam's righteousness, his righteousness. And we can, I mean, we have been reconciled through the blood of the Lamb. We have been put into right standing with God now by the blood of the Lamb. He sees only Jesus, which is that cloak of righteousness, because of our faith in the sufficiency of what he did. Gail brings up a point that I think is worth talking about. And in Mark, where it says, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that name is Jesus. And you see in Acts when people were baptized, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were not baptized in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus. And that's what we do. We baptize in the name of Jesus in obedience to Mark 16.
There is the one place where it talks of being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but as you say, that is another way of showing that it was the name of the triune God. The name is Jesus. And
amen.
That put it that way.
And the thing is, if that is the case, if that was what we were supposed to do, where is the other witness?
Exactly.
It has to be two or more. And if you read, when you're reading through Acts, whenever they baptize someone in water, they always baptize them in the name of Jesus. And that's our example.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know that God is one and his name is Jesus. And the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. One God. Jesus. That's what John said. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. They bear witness of the triune God, and these three agree in one. And Gail is right. She wrote, the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes you able to operate in the power of God. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us power to become the sons of God. I hope this Bible study has helped found people in who and what they are in Christ, in accordance with God's word, so that you can be strengthened and move forward in Him. And where we lack, we all lack, but on this subject, if you need to partake of any of the baptisms, they're available. May the Lord accomplish them in you. But may you know what He accomplished.
This Bible study,
go ahead, Ann.
In this Bible study tonight, I found one of the most interesting ones, not just as the subject itself is, I'm always fascinated to discuss that, but because we have participation from the other listeners where they ask questions. And to me, that really makes the Bible study what it was. So I'd like to encourage people to keep doing that when we have Bible studies. I enjoy that. Thank you for it.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, Megan put in the chat, baptism 1, 2, or 3 in the teaching section of the Fisherman Ministry. In the audio section, the Texas September 29, 2013, which we would all know because there weren't ones before in September, but as time goes forward, I also encourage you all to read Romans 6. And in there you see how to walk in the knowledge of the truth. Romans, all the Bible is. I hate to single something out. And if you want to get a little more on that, the men did Romans last year. And you can go back and actually find the chapter 6 Bible studies or listen to all of Romans. Also, so I just share those things with you. There are resources there to further cement this in your hearts and minds. Those are just some I throw out there for you. I hope you'll avail yourself.
So, Robin, there's a question from Pilgrim. Is it unbelief that stops the power? Yes.
Yes.
The straight answer for that is yes, it does.
Yeah. The whole reason why we are, really that's the battle, isn't it, against unbelief. And that unbelief can portray itself as, I'm not worthy. Well, yeah, we're not. It had nothing to do with that. And we see that type and shadow with the Passover lamb. The people in whose houses that blood was on, they weren't worthy, any more worthy than anyone else. The whole distinction was the blood. We have to allow that to become the distinction for us. The whole distinction is the blood of the Lamb.
And it is that they made the choice.
And they made the choice.
And that is the bottom line.
They obeyed the commandment of God. So it is the way in which we can get beyond ourselves. And we got to. Because the body that we dwell in, that we know so well and gravitate towards, is a body of death. That death being hell. And we don't want to go there. Yes, and Gail wrote, and that they believed God and in faith applied that blood. Yep. And that's where obedience comes in. They obeyed the word of God. So I don't know if anybody has any other questions. I see some people typing. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. Works in the sense of looking at ourselves and seeing whether we did good or bad and that kind of stuff. That's, that isn't where salvation is found. And if we don't war good warfare to put that off, you know, I mean, that's where we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. How well I look at myself and think I do, or how poorly when I look at myself and I think I do, has nothing to do with salvation unless I let it rule me, and then it means I have fallen from that which the Lord has already accomplished, if I will but believe. He did it all. So, thank you all for joining us and for the questions. And as Anne has said in the past, you know, there's people available if you have questions or need to talk about anything. So avail yourself. And we'll look forward to seeing you up next week. So good night, everybody.
May God bless everyone.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you.
Good night.